God accepts me for who I am, and I can accept you guys for who you guys are. So this morning I want to share on busyness versus kingdom priorities. And this is something that I'm truly passionate about. And once again, we're moving in holiday season, but I think it's such an applicable topic to speak about. I'm quite an observer, and when I observe people and when I observe the way that they speak, the way that they act, and the way that they go about, there's a massive increase of a trend that I'm busy seeing, and that is the thing regarding busyness. Always being busy. And our Western culture has shaped it in such a way that busyness has become almost a standard of our worth. That our worth is not always found in Jesus, but in how full our calendars are. That our worth is not always found in what Jesus speaks over us, but about the many things that we can tick off during a week. And I found it even in my life, being full-time in ministry, full-time in the things of God, but still missing Jesus. Doing so many things for the church, spending so many times with people, and doing so many things that might look good, but it's not always God. That there's moments in my life and moments in my week that I need to sit down and reevaluate my week and look at what I'm busy with. And I think today is almost like a day of, even before we go into holiday, to just take a breath. The year is almost done. And reevaluate what is important to us as a church. Amen. I've also noticed something in the past couple of years that a normal greeting has moved away from, hey, how are you doing? And the person's response would be, no, things are great and the family is doing well, to a place of a normal response being, no, things are busy on my side. No, and the kids and the school, and they're so busy with sport, and no, the studies is just going, and at work it's just crazy. And then the response to the other person would reply of, yeah, exactly the same on my side. I must just tell you the schedule of my husband. I must just tell you my schedule. I was up until 12, and I was awake at 5, almost as a measuring rod of your success in your life. You keep yourself busy. So I want to go into the first slide that says the following. Almost there. There we go. Busyness does not equal fruitfulness. Busyness does not equal fruitfulness. That many times we keep ourselves busy, but it's sometimes just good things, but not always God things. We're going to go to the next scripture now, but there's a scripture that speaks about that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. That the things that Jesus kept himself busy with was only the things that he saw his Father doing. And not the things that he thought was good, but was God. And I think many times we love doing things that we esteem high in our lives. And we look at these things and we're like, this is great things. But I want to say we need to reevaluate this morning that it's not always God things. And are we not only keeping ourselves busy with things that are not actually kingdom value? Amen. So let's go on to this first scripture. This is awesome. Okay, so I live with Christian, he's my roommate, and I was ranting one day. I'm coming home, and I said to him, once again, I'm sitting with somebody, I'm a couple of months into full-time ministry, I'm doing this thing, and I'm dealing with no sin issues. Nobody is coming to me about their sins. Everybody is coming to me about their busy schedules, and I can't understand that. And he's like, he asked me a question on my ranting, and he says, why? Why do you think? And I took out my phone, and I'm like, this is the reason. I believe this is the reason. And he's like, no, but it can't be. I'm like, no, I really believe this is the reason. No, but it's only the young people. No, I believe for everyone, this is the reason. Statistics-wise, 4 to 6 hours every day a person spends on their phone. This is not for young people. This is not for old people. This is average for each one. Spends about 4 to 6 hours every day on their phone. That will equal 35 hours per week, 6.25 days per month, 75 days you would have spent on your phone per year, and ultimately you would have wasted 14 years and 146 days if you live till the age of 70 being on your phone. 14 and a half years, you would have sat down on your phone, busy with Facebook, busy with Instagram, busy with looking through things and replying to messages on WhatsApp. 14 and a half years, we would have wasted doing nothing, actually. And I'm not saying that Facebook is from the devil, okay? Maybe a little bit, okay? But I truly believe that the Lord wants to highlight this thing to see where we are wasting time. So in this equation, I am not speaking about your 7 to 8 hours sleep. I'm not speaking about the amount of hours, especially this morning, that girls take to get ready for the day, okay? I'm not speaking about your eating time and spending time on your hobbies. I'm only speaking about phone here. I'm not adding all the other things. And we need to get our priorities straight back to what is expected of us from the King. Amen. Let's go to the first scripture. It is in Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are drawing evil. It's becoming evil. I believe more than ever, we need to be looking at our schedules and looking at the things that we are doing and be wise with how we steward our time. Because of the fast pace and trying to keep up, and I can promise you, many of us would say 2019 was busy. Who believes 2019 was busy? Okay? Everyone. I can promise you 2020 will be more busy. 2025 will be faster than ever. 2030 will even be more faster because of the pace that the world is running, that we cannot keep up with the info and the things happening. I want to say us as Christians need to always have a step back and say, how can we be more wise with our time? The next scripture, I believe it's the one that I quoted. It is in John 5 verse 19. Jesus gave them the answer, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And if Jesus is our example, we need to look at this example of Jesus to continually hear the voice of the Father. What is he expecting of us? Or are we just making ourselves busy, but missing the point of what the Father is asking of us to do? The next slide. It is not enough to be busy, so are the ants. The question is, what are we busy about? I think this is such a profound quote. What are we busy about? What are we doing? What is the things that we spend our time on? Because I truly believe if we come back to the scripture, if we come back to what the Word of God says, we will start to see that we're sometimes missing it. But I want to throw a rock way to the other side to say, don't be so hectic, involved with so many places that you're missing even Jesus in that, okay? Like I said, I'm in full-time ministry and I sometimes miss Jesus. Family is also important. Friends and social is also important. Rest is of uttermost importance. Come and speak to me afterwards, I can tell you, okay? I need rest a lot, okay? But I still believe that sometimes we look at our priorities and we value something higher than something else. Amen. So I want to look at, we can go to the next slide. I want to look at three different areas that, and this is not an exhaustive list. I really believe there's much more in the scriptures. But on three pillars that I want to base today on, moving forward, that I believe we can get our priorities straight. Firstly, God first. Secondly, God's people. And lastly, God's kingdom. Okay? And I want to go into different scriptures, just speaking on these different areas and touch on different things. Okay? Because I really believe the biggest thing I heard that people is busy. Then I asked them, where do you live? No, I live in Wellington. There's not much to do in Wellington. Like, to be very honest, okay? I had a friend in school. His name is Willem. Okay? And we were good buddies. Okay? He was a small guy. He loved snackwiches, and he was always at the Snoopy, okay? But one thing that we love to do is we love to go to places of parties, And when we saw it again, we need to step in because Willem picked the biggest guy in the whole room to fight. And I think many times the picture of Willem is us. Because we're in Wellington, one of the smallest towns around, but we try to compare ourselves against Paul. Because they're busy and doing a lot of things, but there's not much. We don't even have movies. We have 2 KFCs and 5 fish shops. But there's not much to do, okay? I think we have 6 gyms as well. That shows what we are doing here. There's not much to do in Wellington. And many times we're trying to be Willems, going around trying to box against the heavyweights of Cape Town. But actually, there's not much to do here. Okay. So the first thing, we can go to the first scripture, God first. Exodus 20:2-3 says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. I want to mention a couple of things. And just, what is a God? It is something that you esteem higher than God himself, God the Father. It's something that you place a higher priority or higher value than Jesus. And I think many times we are making gods out of things that we don't even notice we're making gods of them. Okay? And to put it as making it a god, you're like, no, I'm not a Muslim, or I'm not serving another god. But I think we can make a god out of our comfort. And that's why I believe the Lord wants to come and blow off some dust. That comfort has become our god. That you expect of me to go to communities on a Wednesday, I'm already going to church. I'm giving 2.5 hours every single week to church. But you're giving 5 hours a day to your phone. Many times we place other things higher than the things of the Lord. Another thing is actually our time. That we use time as almost as God to, I'll give a little bit here, I'll give a little bit here, and a little bit here. I think the number one thing that my father taught me is, also tijd en plek voor alles. There's a time and place for everything. I will teach it to my children because I believe it's true. There's a time for sports. There's a time for vrij, as you usually say. There's a time for everything. I didn't want to follow that. But I really believe there's a time for everything. But I think sometimes we place too high a value on certain things. And when we look at our time, it's nothing where Jesus is. I believe our first fruit of the day must be given to God. No, Henry, I'm not a morning person. It's just a habit that you stop waking up in the mornings. I really believe that we need to get in the mornings with God. If he is our first love, our priority, and the one that we seek and desire, why not wake up in the morning saying, good morning, Jesus? Why not? Every morning getting excited and saying, Jesus, I'm here with you. When you were excited for an event, maybe you're going to a market or a family day or a great event that's happening the next day, the previous night, all you do is think about that event. You can't even go to bed because it's like, it's going to be awesome. And when you wake up the next morning, the first thing you think of is that event is happening today. Why? Because you place a high priority on that event. If that event is Jesus, we would wake up excited every morning and saying, I can be with Jesus again. Amen. The next scripture. Luke 10, verse 38, and I'm going to read all the way to 41. And this is a story of Jesus and 2 women. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him in her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teachings. You can go on. But Mary was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, why are you anxious and troubled about many things? But one thing is necessary. Mary has chose the good portion which will not be taken away from her. I truly believe this church needs Marthas. It needs people to serve Jesus. But I believe a Martha is birthed out of firstly being a Mary. It comes out of a place of being with Jesus, that a desire comes in your heart to want to serve the King. About a month ago, I was worshiping there, and the coffee station was inside. And as I was worshiping, it was really pumping. Like every single Sunday, we were worshiping and going crazy for Jesus and jumping up and down. And I have this thing that I'm trying to stop, but I walk around when I worship. Yes, Lord. And I'm walking around. And once again, as I'm worshiping, I'm turning around and I look to the coffee station. And it's dirty. Oh, my hat. There's like a lot of cups. And the first thing that goes through my head is like, we need to clean this. Okay, and in the middle of worship, I'm starting to clean the table. So I'm trying to pick up all the cups and things like that, being a great deacon. And I'm serving the elders and I'm picking away the stuff. And I'm taking it, and as I throw it away, Martha, Martha, Mary chose the better portion. And I felt the Lord clap me there, pak slada in die hoek, that I'm busy throwing away cups where everybody is worshiping Jesus. And I'm trying to make sure everybody has coffee afterwards. And I had to pause and repent and say, Jesus, my priorities wasn't straight in that moment. There's nothing wrong with serving. There's nothing wrong what I did in that moment. But for Jesus, it almost grieved him and say, just worship me a bit. That can sort out afterwards. You're actually not even on duty. Just serve Jesus at that moment. And I turned and I'm like, sorry, Lord. And I continued. Many times we need those moments of a little pak slaa where we're busy with other things and not with Jesus. The next thing that I'm very passionate about, I'm going to read a scripture. I think I am. If a believer discovers the call of the church, then they will automatically find the purpose of themselves as the church. I truly believe as a believer sees the call of God in Scripture as what the church is called to, you will automatically fall into that because you are called to be the church. Look to Scripture, what God says about the church. And don't say it is an institution there on the side and I'm outside of it. If you consider yourself as a Christian today, you include it to what's expected from the church. You include it to what the Lord expects of us as the body of Christ. Amen? Let's go to the first scripture. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 14 to 16, it's quite small there. I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that, if I delay, you may know how you owe to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. A pillar, it's red there, so it's difficult to see, a pillar and a buttress, or a pillar and a servant of the truth. As the church, we need to be servants of the truth. A pillar of the truth. And then it goes on to explain this truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He, Jesus, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Hallelujah. The Lord expects of us as the church to be pillars and to have always the finger pointing to Jesus. When people look at your life, do they see a servant of the truth? Bringing and serving the truth to people. The next scripture is found in Ephesians 3 verse 10. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. As the church, we need to reflect God. First priority is looking to God. And as we look to God, something needs to leap in our heart and saying, He is loving, that's why I want to reflect love. When we look to Him and say, He is gracious and merciful and kind, something in our heart needs to leap and say, I want to be merciful and gracious and kind and generous. And I want to reflect God. As the church, I believe this is one of our greatest priorities, to be a reflection of Jesus. That on that day, Jesus would come and present us before the Father, blameless and perfect. We need to strive to a higher position or priority of putting holiness above anything else. We need to strive to a place and run after godliness, after reflecting Jesus, not just at church, not just when you're around believers, but in every facet of our lives. How do you speak to unbelievers? Or even more, how do you speak to your wife or your husband? Do you submit and come out of a heart of serving? Or is it harsh and not gentle? How do you make best use of your time to serve the church? I want to ask you, if this is not one of our priorities, we will miss a key and one of the biggest things in the Bible and in Scripture, missing church. Because it's through the church that God wants to reveal Himself. Amen? The next Scripture, and I'm almost done, Matthew 6, verse 33 to 34 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." Can I hear amen? Every day has its own troubles, okay? And just before Matthew 6, verse 33, there's a whole list of worries. There's a whole list of worries and people worrying about the money and then the clothes and the things of this world. But Jesus said, whoa, 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 take care of my house and I will take care of your house. Put my house first and I will take care of your house. Is it important to provide for your family? Definitely. But there's a priority of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all things will be added unto us. I believe the busyness of our society has kept us busy with things that is not kingdom. They're good things, but they're not kingdom. I want to say today is a good day to throw off anxiety. There was a call of anxiety. I think there's much more. Maybe not in this moment anxious because it's Sunday, it's rest day. Just wait for tomorrow. Work is back. Then anxiousness is back. Just wait till you get home. You take off the church hat, then anxiousness is back. I really believe that there's something of a taking off of anxiety. Busyness puts us in a hole of depression because you never feel that you can keep up. I want to say you will never meet the standard of this world. You will never keep up to the pace of this world. You will always be anxious. You will always feel depressed, and you always will need that anxious feeling that you need to answer the next phone call or the next message or that next red light that's beeping there. You'll always feel when your phone hits 10% that you get that little anxiousness, I need to charge my phone. Why? It's an addiction. It's something that keeps us away from God, and we place it actually as a God above the priorities of the kingdom. Seek God first. Seek His kingdom. Advance His church. Reflect His glory. And love to do it. Do it with a smile because it's not burdensome, says the Lord. I want to pray for us, and I'm going to hand over to Maurice, and maybe we will go into a response. So maybe Mornay, you can come up so long. I just want to pray for us to pause. Let's just take a moment and reflect even on this week, how busy it's been. Maybe just everybody close your eyes. Let's just reflect on this week. It's 1st of December. It's holiday season. We're moving in. Maybe some of us need to say, God, I've missed it in 2019. And it's fine. The God that I read in Scripture is definitely a God of second chances. Father, we trust for a refreshing this morning. Father, if there's any burden that we are putting on our shoulders that's not from you, Father, I pray that you will have grace and mercy to come and lift that in Jesus' name. Father, if there's any anxiety in this place, Father, I trust for freedom now in Jesus' name. God, we want to be a church that's free. Free from the things of this world, not to be out of this world, but that we are not from this world, God. Placed in this world to reflect something that is different, that is kingdom and that is righteous. So Father, I trust if there's any depression or any heaviness or anything causing us to run after priorities that's not kingdom, that is not you, Jesus, and esteeming comfort and time and our family and even our finances above you, Father, come and take that away. If we take care of your household, you will take care of ours. We trust you, God. Trust you, God.
Just wanted to maybe just get the volume. Thanks. Just read a scripture. I don't know. I'm trying to find it. I've been reading through the book of Joshua in my quiet times over the last month or so, and there's a section at the end of Joshua. It's in Joshua 24. I'm not going to find it exactly, but in Joshua 24, where Moses is giving, Joshua is giving a command to the people of God, and they're about to come into the promised. They've taken hold of the promises, but he's old, and he said to them, "You need to go now. You know, you've taken your land, and you need to choose today whom you will serve. If you'll serve the Lord." And then he carries on and he says, and they said, "Yes, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord." And then he says to them the statement that has kind of unsettled me, where he says to them, "You are unable to serve the Lord. You can't serve the Lord because the Lord is holy." And he carries on. He says, "No, but we will serve the Lord." They said, "Fine, we'll make a covenant." And they renew the covenant that God had made with them, with Moses. They renew the covenant, but he had said, "But you are unable to serve the Lord." And because God is holy. And I think some of these things, even as they're so important, what Henry was sharing, good reminders for us, but you realize how much we need Jesus in all of this. Because to follow Christ, you know, to lay our lives down, to serve him, we need Christ. We need his empowering spirit. I think we've run hard this year, and I think for many of you that are carrying a lot, it might be in family or work or ministry, you're carrying a lot and you're trying to juggle these balls. It's like how we need the mercy and the grace of Christ. We need his spirit. We need his empowering presence. And he promises us that he would be with us, doesn't he? He promises us that he would empower us, that he would enable us to seek him first and to seek his kingdom. And I just felt like just the reminder that actually we can't do this. Like you can't serve the Lord because he's holy, but through Christ we can, through Jesus. And that's why we need to cling to him. And what Joshua says to the people of Israel, that he says to them, cling to the Lord your God. Be careful to love him. And this morning, even as we go into the holiday period, and let's be careful to love the Lord. Let's watch the details, the little things that make a difference in our walk with God that can sometimes cause us to be distracted from him, to get anxious, to be worried, to be fearful. And I just felt that for us. It's like as we just say, Lord, we need your presence. We need your spirit. As we go even into a rest time for many of you. For some of you, you're working through this time, and just for grace that you'd be able to have the capacity to serve him well. Is it okay? Can I pray for the guys? Do you want to do something? Can I pray? So I'd love to pray for you just as a congregation on that. So Father, we thank you just for the word this morning. We thank you for the reminder just that these great commandments in your word, these wonderful commandments to seek you first, to, Lord, to prioritize your people, all these things that we know are so important. But Lord, we want to say that we are unable to serve you on our own. We need the empowering presence of God. And this morning, Lord, we want to acknowledge that if it's not for you, Lord, this walk of God is a supernatural walk. We're a people of the Spirit, that we're not those who start in the Spirit and end in the flesh. Lord, we don't want to end in the flesh this year. We want to end in the Spirit. We want to end resting in you, finding you. And even this morning, Lord, we just want to rest and say, Lord, we're coming from a place of rest, of finding the presence of our God. And would you come this morning and empower each of us, Lord, of what it means to do these things that Henry has spoken about today. Lord, we come and we surrender to you this morning. And we say, Lord, would you come and empower and pour your spirit upon us? Would you enable us, Lord, to be careful to serve you, to cling to the Lord? And we just want to breathe in your grace, breathe in your presence. We thank you for your great love, that you have not left us alone as orphans. You've given us a helper, the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that, Lord.